You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What a night at the Moda Center on Wednesday. Damian Lillard returns to face his former team that he played with for 11 years with the far superior Milwaukee Bucks, but the Blazers won thanks mainly to Damian Lillard's pupil, Anthony Simons, getting the big shot near the end. Welcome to the Blazer Focus Podcast. I am Aaron Fentress. I'm joined by Craig Burnback. Craig, let's not even waste any time, man. I know you're doing great. The snow's gone, so you're happy in school district heaven these days, probably feeling pretty good about things. So let's just dive into this night. It was fun. It was electric. Let me just paint the picture that things haven't been very electric at Moda this year. We're going to talk more about that later, but there were so many media there. It felt like a playoff atmosphere. Dame, obviously, arguably the most popular Blazer in history, the best Blazer in history, comes back after the controversial summer and the trade that sent him to the Bucks. And there was just a buzz in that place from beginning to end. Kids screaming for Dame, wanting his autograph, him recognizing all sorts of people and hugging and glad-handing people and then playing what was not a great game for him, but a very fun, entertaining game in a lot of different ways. But, let's start with you. Give me your take from your perspective about what kind of night it was.
So a couple things. One, Dame enjoyed it. And that to me was the most important thing, right? He felt loved. He felt that. And so that to me was all that mattered. He deserved that. Two, to me, it was like the playoff game for the Blazers this year. Like, this is it. Like, and they played really well and the game was fun. It didn't end the way I wanted it to. I mean, I did not want to see... I would rather see Robin Lopez take the three. I did not want to see Brook Lopez take 10 threes yesterday.
I know.
And definitely didn't want to take the last one.
And Dame was open.
I wanted him with the three guys on him to step back and shoot it and make it. And I felt like that would have just been iconic, and that would have been so Dame. So the ending was disappointed because to me it was more important for Dame. Like, I would have loved to have seen that moment where Dame hits three and wins, and because the win doesn't matter for the Blazers, but so that part was really good. I wish he would have played a little bit better. He didn't play very well. The Bucks played terribly, to be honest. They were all over, and the Blazers played well as they can. And I just really was happy to see that electricity and to see Portland matter. That's the part that, you and I were talking about that made me a little sad is because we don't have
that right now. Don't give it away yet.
Don't go sad. Okay, don't get sad.
We have a whole section on that.
Okay. I was happy that Dame enjoyed it. I was happy that the fans enjoyed it. I was happy it wasn't a blowout either way. I mean, it was a really good game. Simons hit a clutch shot, which meant something. I was really happy for Scoot's first half, which was great.
Second half
it was cool. Like, he had 15, and the dunk was the best dunk he had under. It was beautiful. And, in the second half, he proved why he's 19. But all that was good. And to see him do the interview, with Brooke and be back there, it was wild to see that. And he was just Dame. Like, he gave honest answers to honest questions, and we'll get into that a little bit about what he talked about with Portland. And then the one thing that I'll bring up that was like,
Dame Lillard,
as he was asked, have you spoken to Joe Cronin since the trade? No. That was the one little twist, like, oh, we're not completely out of this, weirdness. So, but yeah. And you were there. What was the feel like for you other than for the first time in a while, you probably had to jostle to get an interview.
Yeah, like, who are all these people? Who are these imposters? And plus, the Bucks traveled deep. Like, the Bucks brought like five people, not just working for the Bucks, but media people. Yeah, you know, I've been anticipating it all season, obviously. You mark it on the calendar. You and I have talked about it here and there. And you think back to CJ's reception and what he got. It's, you know, it was, I think it was bittersweet for everyone. I think that, you know, just like with the trade, like some people believe that it was time for both people to part, both entities to part. Dame clearly is in a much better place. When I talked to him in Denver, you know, he was talking about how he didn't really want to leave Portland. He wanted to work things out. Even after he requested the trade, he was willing to, when he couldn't get to Miami, he was willing to, you know, stay. He insists that when he said he would come back, he didn't mean come back until a trade could happen. He meant he would come back and try and work it out. He didn't really want to move away from his kids. Like, there's a lot of things that were going on with Dame emotionally. But then I stopped him. I said, okay, but you admit that you're in a better situation, right? And he goes, oh, yeah, definitely. So basketball-wise, he's over it. Personally, he still feels this kind of way about how things went down. And, of course, the whole family situation. I think for some fans, they wish, you know, he was still there because the team stinks and you miss Dame. And for other fans, you know, it was best for everyone because now you can see Dame on a winning team. And so it's just so many different emotions going into it for him. And I think for a lot of people there and people who work for the franchise. But he handled it perfectly. You know, he walked in to the place and I was there with my camera like a bunch of other people, and he looked at me and goes, you're gonna have to show me where the visitor's locker room is, you know, and turned down the halls. It was kind of funny. But oh my God, there were kids in the stands screaming to get his attention to try and get autographs. And he said something cool to me in Denver, and he said it later too as well, is that, you know, he knew during the game he was going to see people in certain seats that he's seen in those seats forever and recognize those faces. And I never really like thought about that, you know, from a player's perspective, that season ticket holders who sit in section 108, row 12, you're going to see them. And then you recognize those faces over time because you have a brain that can, you know, do those kind of things. So I thought that was really cool. And it just really was a nice detail of the intimate relationship he feels like he has. The close relationship he feels like he has with the fan base.
And you know, being there for so many shoot-arounds, doing live shots at five and whatever, he was a guy that connected with people that came in early. You know, the group of the old ladies that, you know, always sat together, like he would go and talk to them and he would go and talk to other people because he's always been that kind of never afraid of connection. And never afraid of being who he is. So it's not just he saw them. He's like, that's Pete. You know, like, I know. Oh, my gosh, that kid. I've seen that kid.
From age 10 to grow up to 18, right? Right? Yeah, I mean, some of these kids grow up. Yeah.
And because he's not a guy that didn't come in and not connect and just put the earphones on and just go in and run to the tunnel to get out. He would chill. You know that. He would sit down in that front row. He loved being at the arena, probably still does. And I'd come and sit there and talk with him. And, you know, when he had his kids and we had our kids at the same time, like, oh, my kid loves dinosaurs. He's like, mine too. You know, like he was real like that. And I used to say, like, you felt like you knew Dame, right? Media felt like they knew Dame.
Right.
And, you know, he's the best guy I ever covered, the most enjoyable. And some of that is because he connected to people that way. So, and because he did so many events, almost everyone's got a Dame Lillard story outside the arena, you know, if you're that big of a fan, because he wasn't hard to reach. Right. And he loved Portland and he embraced it like no other, really like no other Blazer. You know, everyone thinks of Clyde Drexler in Houston because he went to college there and that was his world. And then he ended up there. Like, no, Bill. You know, Bill Walton in Portland, yes, old timers, but the waving of the towel in Boston, you know, LaMarcus was not like that. So, and Brandon,
which is why he left, right? It's one of the reasons why LaMarcus left. He didn't feel connected.
And Brandon did, but it was so small, so short, you know, injuries. And then he got shipped out when he was done. So it's just unlike to me, he is an icon. Like, I don't care. You want to debate whether he's a legend? He's a Blazers legend, and there aren't many. Not the Celtics here, We're not the Lakers here.
Right.
We don't have a long list of legends. And every legend almost has a quirk to it. And Dame didn't. He fully embraced it. He wanted to be the consummate Blazer. And he was. So to me, that was interesting.
Portland has a lot of local legends in our own little bubble. But in terms of transcendent across the country legends, I mean, Walton, Drexler, Dame, pretty much, right?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you get into debates about, like, does Porter go, does Kersey go, you know, but they just...
Yeah, I don't...
It's not locally, the same impact. It's
locally, not, yeah, but not nationally.
Lillard's the biggest... Look, Lillard's the biggest star that the Blazers ever had, like, in the NBA, you know, while he was here, you know, for a consistent period of time. You know, Clyde was great, but he wasn't in every... He wasn't in national commercial. It was a different time, right?
I mean, but still.
And Lillard was also, he's so smart. He's so smart. You know what I mean? Like, he signed on with Adidas and he made it because he knew they would make it him. Modelo beer was like, I never heard of it. There's Dame, and now everybody's drinking it. You know, like Gatorade. You know what I mean? Like, he got the iconic things that others didn't. It's not necessarily Clyde's fault because Michael Jordan was just so dominant at the time and he just wasn't him and they didn't win. And again, Dame didn't win anything really. You know, the one time they got to the conference finals and that was almost a fluke year. I mean, I don't want to get into debate on that, but that wasn't the team that I thought was going to be the best team. They got there from circumstances, injuries, clutch shot. So yeah, to have a, it's not often that and across the board that a legend comes back still
in its prime.
In the prime, right? Still an all-star, still that way. And definitely doesn't happen here. You know, it's not something that happens here a lot. So, it was worth, it lived up to everything except for the quality of Dame's play. And Brook Lopez took the final shot.
Brooke was driving me nuts.
Damn, Brook Lopez! Well,
and there was one time, not the last one, but maybe the second to last one Brooke took that he missed, where you could hear Dame yell, Brooke, because Dame was open.
Hey, you.
I could hear him from where I was sitting. And I'm like, Brooke, what are you doing? How are you not? Yeah. Like, in the last one, he could have definitely given it up to Dame. And either Dame shoots a three or he drives. And, you know, so, and the other thing is, and I talked to one of the people who cover the Bucks. I'm like, why is the offense running through Brooke in these situations? Oh, and not like Brooke was taking threes on situations where Giannis never touched the ball.
10 threes.
I'm like, how do you not get the ball to Giannis in a clutch situation? Who's stopping him? And now Giannis was running over people like he was a fullback. He committed some ridiculous charges.
Was. He did not
like,
play
you,
well.
Like, what are you doing? But still, go to Giannis first. If they double him, kick it to Dame or someone else open or Brooke. But don't – anyway, that's – I'm sounding like I'm a Bucks fan, right? I was just frustrated because I wanted –
The Bucks were a mess.
Yeah. I wanted Dame to get the final shot. Like, it was just – anyway.
Of course.
Because that's the storybook – in either you guys' storybook ending with the win, with the make to win, or he misses, and it's just is what it is. I love what he said after the game is that, you know, he – okay. Well, we'll talk – we're going to talk about Ant in a minute, so I'll say this for that. But he said how, you know, even losing didn't ruin it. You know, it was still a fun game. It was a fun night. It was a fun atmosphere. It was competitive. It was interesting. And even though they lost, he walked away pleased with the overall experience. But he said, I'm not going to say I'm glad it's over, but it was exhausting. You know, leading, everyone asking him about it, you know, from the people who cover the Bucks to, you know, a Blazers writer who flies into Denver to ask him about it. And then, he gets here and everyone's asking about it. And then he was there to see his kids sleep in his own bed. But then his twins had a birthday party. And then he went to Adidas for that ceremony dedicating the court to him. And it was just a lot. And his agent and I talked about that too, where it was just like, you know, it was a lot. And Doc Rivers talked about it and Dame talked about it. And so he enjoyed it. But at the end of the day, it was an exhausting experience and he can move on. But let's transition then into, do you think this provided a sense of closure for Dame?
No.
Okay, next topic. No. Okay, explain from your point of view why.
Yeah, I don't think – I mean, it was a step. He got that over with. But when he says, Have you spoken to Joe Cronin? No. You know, like, no. He's bitter about stuff that went down. And I totally understand why. Like, that he is not happy that he feels, and I agree that he was made to look a little, they try to blame him for the divorce. You know, they try to tell the kids it's you know, Dame's fault, not ours. And Dame's like, what are you talking about? Like, how are you doing that and playing this Miami thing against him when he was just doing what he had to do to get out, right? And but that whole part of saying over and over again, we're building around you, don't build around him, and then be like, oh, but we still feel we're going to be good. And he's like, stop. You know, we can revisit this. I know, you know, that just couldn't be true. No one thought it was true. But just like the world today, if you tell enough people, you keep saying it, some people are going to buy it if they want to, right? And they wanted to be mad. So I don't think there was closure there. And he opened it up. He didn't close the door. Like, he was asked about, you know, Portland. And he could have said, that chapter of my life is over and I've moved on and I loved it, but he didn't. He went to Aaron Finch's world and said, I still think that I can end my career here in Portland.
He told me that in Denver. I put it in my story.
Right. I mean, yeah. Like, he is. So how can you have, he opens, he's keeping the door open. Like, closure is, and it did, you know how it is. You could say this and still come back, but he could have said, look, I love my time in Portland, but I can't be thinking about that right now. I'm in Milwaukee. My goal is to win a championship, bring a championship, another championship to Milwaukee, experience that. This chapter of my life is closed. Right, but he didn't. He said, well, you know, I've already, I still think that I could end up here. And I'm like, well, what? Like, you know, really? Like, but that's who he is. He's he's honest. Like, most people would not do that, even if they felt that way. So no, there's no closure when you tell the entire world that you think you might be back.
and the other thing is, like, what does that mean? Does that mean you think you might be back because you and Joe will patch things up, or that you don't think Joe is going to be here in 4 years, and then that's your pathway back? I mean, that's what's fascinating about it, because that fence would have to be mended.
And it's not just Joe. I don't think it's just Joe Cronin. I think it goes to,
you start there,
to
and
ownership,
you have to
work your way up. And you know, who knows what his relationship is with Bert Cold. I think it's him, and that could have been the follow-up that, you know, didn't happen. Like, could you see yourself playing for this same leadership and ownership group, and wonder what he would say? Because we all know it's inevitable. They got to sell at some point. We just don't know when. That's interesting. But I mean, I can't imagine. Well, I can. There's always things happen, right? Like, right now, it doesn't feel like they could come to a place where that would happen, but right now it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It
would be a few years out.
Joe Cronin's only going to be here if the plan actually works. So they'd be good, and that'd be more of a reason.
Yeah.
I have no idea how Dame's going to transition into it. You've always talked about the fact that he's such a good shooter that he might have the ability to transition into a player that doesn't have to score 25, doesn't have to be ball dominant. But you have no proof of that. You just have hope of that. I'm not mad at you for that. It's fine. It's a fine hypothesis.
See, now you got me fired up. I was, we were copacetic. No, and now
you don't know. Right now, Damian Lillard is not effective off the ball as much as he is on the ball. Like,
well,
that's
no,
just
I think,
who he's been.
No, I think he'd stay on the ball. He just wouldn't have to be that guy hunting for 28, 30. He could be more of a facilitator, come down to 18, 19, 20 with 8, 9, 10 assists, is what I'm saying. Like, and still be that killer threat as a three in the right situation with the right team, where you have scores around that you can get those assists with and draw defensive attention, and then you get the ball and you're taking wide open looks as opposed to forcing a lot of stuff. That's all I'm saying. And I think we've seen
– And it's a hypothesis.
Point guards age pretty well. Chris Paul, well, you know, as long as they stay healthy.
He was never that guy. He never averaged 25. He averaged less. He changed with the game. Right. He was always a pass first.
But
he wasn't a lead guard.
So
he's
point
guard.
So are you saying you don't think Dame can mentally adjust that way? Because obviously physically you can. He can't.
You look at that and you just name Chris Paul. I can name a bunch of guys that it didn't happen for, right? So like, John Stockton aged well because he never was, you know, a scorer. He's always a facilitator. Iverson didn't. You know, it was all
he refused, though. He refused.
Of course, but most guys don't know how to, like, you have to, it's not just that they refuse. It's like, well, I'm not effective like that. I only know how to play one way. Like, Vince Carter did things that no other player did. There's very few people that went from being the, you know, the most exciting scorer in the world to a role player. And most of the guys don't. I mean, you know, the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan, never did. He was always, he just got worse at what he did when he was the greatest. You know what I mean? He was still good, but he still had to score and he still needed the ball. It's just not a lot of guys are able to at the guard position. But, you know, the NBA wasn't – we're seeing something different. You know, guys that played point guard were not – you know, I pointed to Iverson, who when Iverson did what he did, he was the rarity. At that size to average that many points, he was not the norm, right? So now it's different because now the way the league is, lead guards – I mean, you got Simons and, you know, like on a team that's terrible that averages over, you know, an healthy's going to average 25. So Jalen Brunson, you know, the guy's 6 feet tall and he's scoring 25 a game. Like that was not the thing. You had point guards that averaged, you know, if you averaged a lot, like Steve Nash, you know, was a, you know, he didn't average 30. You know what I mean? Like his transition was so different.
Here's my name. Isaiah Thomas. He adjusted his game to be more of a facilitator.
I mean, I'd say sure, but I always thought that he was a facilitating point guard that scored when they needed to.
But he had even the ability, score 30 a night had he operated that way, is what I'm saying. But you, I get what you're saying. You're saying going from being that guy, we'll see. I mean,
again, I'm not poo-pooing it.
Right.
I'm just saying it's a hypothesis and we don't know.
I know.
And you know, and how long will his body, you know, go, right? I mean, all it takes is one – bad injury and you're like, and then they don't come back and when you're 35, less more than, you know, now it happens more than usual, right? I mean, you do have these guys that are playing, you know, at high levels, not just the stars. I mean, Jeff Green's 175 years old and he's still a really dominant, you know, defender at times. But yeah, I mean, I think it's cool that he's saying that. And I think because it's interesting.
Okay. All right. So you felt a sense of sadness during this
melancholy
during this magical evening. Please explain yourself.
So last night, the Blazers mattered. Portland mattered. You said it like your best thing was like you looked around like, where were you people for Blazers Memphis? You know, like I didn't see any of you. And now media has changed too, right? So you don't have as many. But no, it's just not a relevant – the Blazers are not relevant. And while the Timbers can do what they want to do and University of Oregon and Eugene, like that can matter to the state. But when the Blazers matter, it's different. And, you know, I always bring my story in 2000 – I got here in 2007, man. I got the best 10 years, you know, to cover the Blazers. Like, and I got out of the everyday right when it tipped the wrong way. Like but the nights were electric. The energy matters. It matters not just for the fans. You saw the players last night. They played better. They played above their abilities and stayed engaged because the crowd was there. And that's something that happened all the time. And even when the Blazers were building up to, make the playoffs, you know, Brandon Roy, we made the playoffs. Like, yeah, we got smoked in the first round, but we made the playoffs. And then to win a playoff game. And so I miss that. And I miss the fact that Dame is the one who did it for a decade. And not just, I mean, even in the last 3 years, you know, the last 2 years here, they were terrible, but he put up 70, you know, right. Like, and it mattered. And people were talking about the Blazers because what's going to happen with Dame? Now, like, what do you care about tomorrow? Like, and I don't mean that there's just not a lot to matter. I got a 6-year-old that last night I could convince him to watch with me because there was a story. I'm like, you remember Damian Lillard, the guy I told you was the best player on the team? Well, he's back and he's playing in the green team now. He's like, whoa, you know what I mean? Like, and
ooh,
that's
the green
that's
team?
Well, I mean, you know,
the deer. No,
I don't want to explain.
No. Yeah, I know why. I had young kids. I know exactly. But I'm pretending like I'm the kid. Going, ooh, the green team with the right? deer with but the deer like, oh, on the wow. chest.
You know, but I'm just saying, like, and seeing all those kids out there wearing those jerseys, and knowing like that, there's nothing there yet. There's potential possibilities that maybe Scoot or maybe Sharp. I mean, the boat. Look, Simons is good, but he's not going to be that guy. He's just not. He's not. He doesn't have that personality. He doesn't even have that game. Like, I am so sick of hearing, and I love Lamar and Kevin Calabro, but stop telling me about how Simons is the most clutch player in the fourth quarter. They got 13 wins. There's nothing clutch going on in here.
But he's like, missed 20-something games. He's definitely – come on. He's in his time, he's definitely had some killer shots in the fourth. Come on.
Of course, but none of this matters. They're not. It's not playoff games. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're a bad team.
Like, oh, so you're saying a clutch shot just, when it's just a win that's meaningless. Doesn't mean
like,
anything.
Yeah, you beat the Wizards, right? Like Kobe missed a crap ton of shots. I think he's clutch, right? Like, you really going to try to convince me that Simons is the most clutch player in the fourth quarter in the NBA? Like, stop it. Stop it.
They said in the NBA. Lamar did not say
the numbers say like 5.5 points per game in the fourth quarter during clutch time. I don't know exactly what it means. I'm just saying I don't care.
20 like games. Anyway, yeah, I agree with you.
I'm just saying, like, I just want that feeling for the city, for the franchise, for the fans. And also, it just showed how much we miss Dame. You know, like, even when in the beginning of the last two seasons, The main reason why we thought it's worth watching this game and this team is Damian Lillard, and so it made me a little melancholy that we just have to the only thing we're living on, if you're a Blazer fan or covering the team, is hope, and I don't see that shining star. And that, like, Dame was, I mean, he was Rookie of the Year, like, he was instant. There was instant understanding that, oh, this guy is something. But before him, Brandon brought that. You know, Brandon brought that. And Brandon and LaMarcus, you know, together. Right. And even the Greg Oden thing, it was the worst bust in history. But there was that hope, like, you had this feeling of possibilities.
So you're not feeling that way at all about Scoot? You're not feeling that at all?
I have no idea. I mean, it's not here. I mean, I'm not saying it's not going to come, but I haven't seen anything to think that like I saw with Lillard, like, oh, yeah. Like, you were like, oh, okay, like this guy. And, you know, they weren't terrible. You know, like, they were, you know, very quickly. Now, it's only his first year, so I'm not at all writing it off and not thinking it's possible. I just don't have it yet. Like, that feeling's not here yet. He's not going to win Rookie of the Year. I don't want to break it to anybody, but he's not winning that. There's two guys well ahead of him, and just, you know, and we haven't seen the spark. And you always articulate the fact that he's 19 and point guards don't do that, and that is correct. But it doesn't make up for the fact that there's not another – we haven't found Dame's replacement, and why would we so quickly, right? But that was the melancholy.
Yeah, I mean, you know how I feel about Anthony, and, you know, it's so unfortunate that he hurt his thumb in the first game, because I do believe that had he been healthy the entire, you know, reasonably the whole season to this point, that he's at 26-6 a night.
Sure.
And the fact that he got sick a couple times because of the weather, he says really cold weather just bothers him and messes up his whole, you know.
Thank Florida people.
His biology. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, do I think he's going to be on par with Dame? Probably not. But he has Dame's traits from a talent standpoint. He has to put everything together. And he's, you know, he's just not – he doesn't demonstrate the leadership chops yet, but he has grown. So maybe there's a couple more years of growth there. You know, we'll see. But, you know, when Billups said we don't have an alpha, I mean, that rubs some people the wrong way. But he wasn't wrong. He wasn't remotely close to wrong. So anyone who was upset about that, it's kind of being disingenuous. So we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, right now you have a collection of players that all of them are good in their own way, and all of them are extremely flawed in a lot of different ways. It's not a roster that fits in any way, shape, or form. Like I told you at the beginning of the year, the over-under on the number of players who will be on this team still when they make the playoffs, and I was talking about the 10-man rotation, I'm not talking about G League guys or two-way guys, was 4.5, which would be, you know, about half. I think that's pretty accurate. I talked to someone with Blazers organization about that, not someone who makes roster decisions, but just someone who works there. And he said, two, right? He doesn't even see how there's going to be a ton of players still there. So it's, you know, they're so far off, I think, from being, like you said, relevant. Yep. And so, yeah, I mean, I hear you. And there's been some nights where my row of press people, there's me and then there's no one until a couple scouts at the end when it should be. Whereas last night, it was full. And so there's nights when people just aren't coming.
When I first came and we had two anchors from K2, we only had one spot. They wouldn't give TV stations more than one spot. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't always get a spot. Like they had the alternate. I had to go, you know, sit up with the alternates with like the bloggers. Nothing wrong with them. But like, I'm like, you know, there's only four TV stations, but you couldn't get a row for a long time. And then, but you know, by the end, it was completely different. Like there was still space, you know, but you remember how it was in 2007, 8, 9, like, and there was more entities, right? Comcast Northwest had like multiple spots. Yeah. The Oregonian had eight people at some games. Like it was insane. So it's not just the you guys said I could count them. One day I'll tell you. I remember being like, my gosh.
Well, must be a special night.
Those are two different things, right? Those are media. Look, when we used to cover practices, it used to be packed in that little room.
I do remember that. There'd be tons of us in that room.
Waiting. And so much so that, you know, the media, you know, the Blazers people decided they weren't going to let us ask for people anymore. They're just going to give us people because it was too much. And now I can only imagine how many, you know, you're in there.
Dude, it's
just
me,
talking to Blazers people.
Well, Brooke will show up sometimes. Casey Holdall's obviously there, but they work for the Blazers.
Well, and then
after
the team.
And then after that, the only, like, TV rotates in and out every once in a while. Sometimes we'll see Brenna. We'll see Orlando. But the only two people who are consistently there are myself and Sean Hyken. And then.
Yeah,
I mean, consistently. There's other people that pop in and out, but consistently.
Sure, but that's a reflection on the media world as well as the Blazers. But if the Blazers were winning, there'd be more people there. The TV stations would be there more. It's just the way it is. And that's, you know, that's where it is. That's what last night was a reminder of, that it's not just the media industry. It's the fact that we used to be there and there would, you know, TNT was covering the crap. You know, they were on TNT all the time. They were on ESPN all the time. That means you had national crews and you had national writers come in because there was more to the Blazers than just the games. So they were doing features on Dame, features on LaMarcus. And even, you know, sometimes with Paul Allen, you know, and it's just not the same. But, you know, for one night, it was magical. And Dame got what he deserved, and the fans got to, you know, do what they wanted. But it won't be the last time. Like, he's going to come back, you know. You know, the way the schedule works, it's a little different because he is in the East. But, you know, it also reminded me how much I'm going to root for Damian Lillard, you know, to win, except for what they play the Knicks.
Yeah.
That's going to be the thing. And, like, I think that it did show that Blazer fans, most of them, are not get it, you know, the ones that matter. And that's what we talked about. When we talked about this, I said the ones, there's no doubt what he'll get when he comes.
Yeah.
What we're hearing are the trolls and the people that just don't understand it, want to be mad at Dame, the ones that really understand and appreciate what he gave because he never didn't give it all.
Right.
So, but yeah, I think that I'm more interested in what the Bucks do because they were terrible last night and they got a new coach.
Austin White from the Tribune is there a lot as well. I forgot about him. Okay. So, you know, Dame didn't get the last shot, but, you know, his protege. His pupil, right? His Padawan. Yep. Are you a Star Wars guy? He hit that sick Euro 10-foot floater. Sweet. Which the sidestep he made on that was just like, I didn't even know what was happening. It was so crazy. To give them a 117-116 lead. And then, of course, he went some free throws and missed shots. But 119-116 was the final.
That's the game winner. Let's stop there.
Yeah,
after that, it got yuck.
I mean, they didn't need the other 2 points ultimately. But after the game, I asked Damian, I was like, were you both proud and like, oh, damn? And first, he didn't, I don't think he quite understood what I was saying. And he gave me a different answer. Then I kind of came back again and I said, so were you proud when he hit the shot? He goes, I wasn't proud at all in that moment. I wanted to win. But he also talked about how he also wasn't like, he wasn't surprised. He wasn't, you know, like not expecting him not to make a play because he's seen him do so many things up close and knows how much talent he has. And they're still close. He said they talked all the time. And whenever he gets a chance to watch a Blazer game, he watches it primarily to watch Ant because that's the only guy on the roster that he really has the same that – I mean, he knows Matisse, obviously. He knows Grant. They only played 1 year with them, Matisse half a year. So, you know, the guy he looks for most is Ant. So it was kind of interesting in that respect. If we didn't get the Dame game winner, at least we got sort of like, you know, his underling rising up to sort of beat him, which I thought was pretty cool.
Just his underling, his cheerleader.
Yeah,
that Dame too. Don't take this the wrong way. I believed in Ant's talent because Dame told me.
Right.
Dame told me. Not because Fedris told me.
Wait, what? You didn't buy it when I told you?
We never got to see Ant when Ant got there. You know what I mean? Like, because he never played. And Dame was saying, he would bring it up how much Ant's do what he's doing in practices and stuff like that and tell us, like, hey, wait. You wait. That guy, you know, that guy is a baller. He's going to be special. Hmm. And so he, you know, it's like a lot different. He, you know, took him under his wing when he was a teenager. And Ant is, people think Ant's shy now. I mean, he's, Ant like spoke no words when you put him, you know, a microphone in front of him. You couldn't get him to talk at all. So, so to me, I totally understand that why it's different than, you know, Grant, who was he wanted Grant to come here because he was Grant already.
Right.
Dame watched Ant go from teenager that didn't play in college to get drafted in the first round and everyone be like, what? And no one believed anything Neil O'Shea said. So like, you know, but once Dame started saying that, I was like, oh, okay. Cause Dame had said things before. And you just believe him cause he's the most blunt, honest person I've covered. Like if he's saying this guy's doing special things, it's not lip service. You know, he's actually seeing it. So it's just for him, that's got to be a special relationship.
Definitely. So after the game, a lot of people were sort of approaching the storyline of, you know, the team rising up in this big game situation against, you know, the team with the fifth best record in the league. What does this say about the Blazers, et cetera, et cetera? Did that win say anything? Or is it just the NBA, the randomness of the NBA?
Well, somewhat, but it also says energy matters. You know, that's why home court matters in when your team is – it's not just the – when really good teams are hosting. It's energy elevates people's play, and it definitely elevated Scoot's play in the first half. I mean, he hasn't felt that, right? He has not been able to see – he doesn't know what the Moda Center is like when it's rocking. Now he does, like for the first time, like opening night, maybe it was rocking, but not really. No, that this was what the Moda Center is like. Trailblazer fans are awesome. And when the place is rocking, you elevate your game, and it happened. And you know, they have played better lately. So I think it is an extension of health. And to me, the biggest difference is Domin Ayton. You know, he's played really well lately, and he has been aggressive.
He was really aggressive last night. You know what times we've talked about how he wasn't aggressive? That was a completely different Ayton. And he was doing it against a good team. He knew Giannis was around. He knew Brooke, like, and he was trying to make things happen. That dude needs to be there every night. And if he's not, this entire experiment is going to blow up in Portland's face. He has to be that guy.
Energy matters. Like he knew this is their only national, you know, TV game. You know, I mean, those guys know this stuff, and he didn't want to be embarrassed when everyone's watching. So it shows that the talent's there. But this is the frustrations that the Suns had. You know, there's a reason why they traded him. This is the good part of why he was the number one pick. But it's also that end where you're like, well, when you see that guy get the ball and just quickly make decisions. But he did make some really good plays in previous games. He made a great pass, one-handed pass. He's got some alley-oops. And maybe he's just getting healthy. Maybe that knee was you know, just really bothering him. But, yeah, the inconsistency matters. So I've liked it. And look, Billups coached really well last night. He coached really well. He made really good decisions on how to defend the Bucks, and he had the right guys in. I love that he helped. He kept Scoot in at that one point in the fourth quarter. Scoot made a terrible, you know, decision, and he didn't come back out after the timeout. You know, like he subbed there, and he played to win, and they did. So there's some positives, but like they're not gonna go on a, you know, 10 game winning streak, you know, anything crazy like that.
Yeah.
You
know? So, okay. So when they went on the road and beat Indiana and Cleveland, that was impressive, right? I was like, whoa, look at that. Then they lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row, right? Then they beat the Suns. Ooh, that's a good win. Then they lost to the Wizards. Come on. Then they beat the Kings, which is still the best win of the season for me, 130 to 113. And then they proceeded to lose 9 of the next 11, including that stretch on the road where they lost 6 games by an average of 33 points. So then you come home and you beat the Nets and you beat the Pacers again. Whoa, looking good, but whoops, then you lose 4 out of 5. And one of those was the Bulls, who were without LaVine and Patrick Williams, and they beat you at home. Now they won 2 in a row. But I don't even count the Philly game because Embiid and Maxey weren't there. So you didn't really beat Philly. Yeah, you didn't really beat Philly.
It's a preseason game.
So this win is quality, but it's their first. I mean, I guess the Houston Rockets on a row was solid. But what's going to happen next? According to, based on the history of the season, they're about to lose 6 of their next 8, right? if you're honest. You got Denver twice. Pistons at home used to win. Pelicans are going to be tough. You got Minnesota coming here twice. And then Denver again. And then Charlotte, you should beat them, and then the Heat. But when you look at that stretch, that's including before and after the All-Star break, that's going to be a rough stretch. So I need to see this team stay healthy and win, you know, 4 out of 6, 5 out of 7 before I believe they turn any proverbial corner.
Yeah, and I mean, every corner they turn, they're gonna it's a brick wall because that's the goal. Right. But that's the goal. The goal's not to win, right? Like the goal's to get 2 lottery picks this draft. I will say this, you know, in closing, probably is that this is the best win of the year for me.
Really?
I understand what you're saying with the King. Yeah, just so it meant something.
Just
like
because
the
of
Kings
the,
are
the atmosphere.
Like, it was at home. It was awesome. Is it the most impressive win? I don't know. I mean, the Bucks are better than the Kings, supposedly, right? I mean, they have the best player.
But they smoked the Kings, so that's – but it all depends on your criteria. But
yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm just changing my criteria.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
I'm going Bucks.
This time you're not wrong.
Is the best win. and they had and the Bucks are trying to win. They didn't take this game lightly. They knew it was a big deal, and they couldn't do it. The Kings probably didn't care. You know, they weren't like, oh, we got the Blazers. You know, the Bucks circled this one, right? It was packed. The energy was huge. To me, it was the playoff game for the year, biggest win, and I don't see a bigger win. You know, I think that they did it. The most important game of the year, they won it. Like, good for them, because I mean, even if they beat the Lakers, you know, which is always a big deal, or the Warriors, they're both not good, and there's not the same, energy there that there will be for this game.
Right.
But yeah, I'm not going to get caught up in wins and losses. I don't even care when they win. You know, to me, when they win and Brogdon and Grant and even Simons are leading the way, I'm like, yeah, okay. But if Scoot's on the bench and Ayton's not playing well and Sharp's not playing at all. Last night was cool. Kamara, man, those were huge. His defense was huge. And that was fun to see, a guy that you hope turns into something. But
do you remember that running hook thing he shot over Lopez off the glass?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That, like, 10 out of 10, he misses.
I asked Chauncey about that after the game. I go, where did that running hook thing come from? He goes, that's the first time I've seen it. I'm like, you haven't seen it in practice? He's like, no, not that I've seen. He goes, as a matter of fact, we're going to tell him. I think he said I told him to put that thing away. I go, you can't. He's 1 for 1. And Chauncey says, he can just end perfectly on that because
exactly
that just came out of nowhere, dude.
Yeah. If he took 10 more of those, he'd miss 10 more of those. it was good for him, right? And, you know, Scoot hit that one layup where he got stopped at the rim and he brought in just pure athleticism. Mm-hmm. You know, that also is one of those. That's just sometimes good things happen, right? Yeah, Kamara's hook. I mean, I'm glad he did it because it was fun.
It is so weird to see that happen. It would be like if Aiden did a between the legs step back three. He'd be like, what was that? That's how weird it was seeing Kamara do that. But what about Dame's dunk? I forgot about that. Do you remember when he came down the lane?
That was beautiful.
I thought he was going to be short. And he had just the extra elevation and just it was like, whoa, where'd that? Like, he doesn't do that often. He doesn't go drive the lane and dunk that often. So to see him do it the way he did that was pretty impressive.
And it was weird because I didn't think he had his legs. You were talking about him being tired. His threes looked dead legged. Mm. You know, he was short on everything or really long, you know. And then he had that burst. So, but you know, when Dame does dunk, he's strategic about it. You know what I mean? Like he does make a statement, come down the middle or something like that. He's not a guy that gets out front very often and does anything. So, but it was good to see that. And that get the, you know, the Bucks back into where there was a chance. And then Brooke Lopez ruined it for everybody. You know, like I'm just, I mean, Robin Lopez saved the basketball from on top and his twin brother ruined the entire game for everybody. That's why I like Robin Lopez.
All right, let's end on this. Dame, obviously, with the Bucks, is going to come back once a year. What do you think it'll be like as we move forward? Lesser and less, or
well, nothing's going to be the same as the first, but he'll always get, you know, an amazing response, and that, and he should. And
retirement, jersey, you know, we'll see retirement? Retirement next time, maybe.
Oh, they should retire his jersey. I don't think there's. I mean, when you look up in the rafters, you got to be kidding me. Like, how could you not retire Damian Lillard?
But I mean, next time he comes, in the next couple of years, when he comes as a Buck, or do you wait till his career is over?
I think you wait till he retires. Yeah, you wait till you don't retire. I don't think you ever retire a player's number while he's still playing. I mean, see why you would do that. I don't think so. I mean, even like I was at. Yeah,
I don't know if anyone's ever done that actually. So,
I mean, you could do it in college. Or like guys like in the ABA when they went to the NBA and the ABA was gone, like maybe he could do that because the franchise is dead. But no, I think you don't do it beforehand because you don't know what's going to happen, right? And you don't know, will he come back? And then what, right? So right. There's no reason to retire his jersey. And plus, he deserves to have that when it's over where you can actually really appreciate it. I don't think you can appreciate those kind of things while you're playing because you're just thinking about, you know, like
the game,
Dame always says, winning the next game and winning a championship. I think it'll be interesting to see how long he stays with Milwaukee and if they win championships and what will he end up being in Milwaukee. That's always interesting to me because, mm-hmm. you know, I'll just throw out a guy that's not the same level, but, you know, growing up on the East Coast, Buck Williams is the Nets, you know, he's a Nets legend. And then you come out to Portland and he's revered here too, you know, like, so what will it be like if, you know, Clyde's got the thing with the Rockets and the Blazers, right? So if he wins two titles there, is he's a Milwaukee legend too, right? You know, and that'll be interesting. I mean, Carmelo's got love out here in Portland. He's got love in New York, but he never won a championship. So that's what I'm interested to see, what his career in Milwaukee would be like. Because if they don't win it, or at least get, you know, they get knocked out in the first round or the second round of the playoffs, that it's a huge disappointment. You know what I mean? Like, and what will that turn into for him, him there? So, I mean, some guys can survive it. Charles Barkley was a legend in Phoenix, a legend in Philly, and he didn't win a title either place.
Right.
So it's not, no one blames him though, so that'll be interesting.
I just thought one more thing that we should probably touch on real quick before we break here. The trade deadline is a week from today.
Gotta trade Brogdon.
Exactly.
Like, I don't even like hearing people saying, well, maybe they should keep him. What?
Exactly. Every time I hear that, I'm like, what are you people thinking? And why would you want to do that to him? Like, he doesn't want to be playing on his bad team.
I mean, look, and I wish him well, right? I wish him well. Go to your fifth team and do great. But what are you talking about? Like, why would you keep him? Because so you could trade him next year? Like, okay.
And I don't understand the argument that you think you can get more for him in the summer or next trade deadline than you can now.
I mean, I don't get it either. His contract's not ridiculous. So why wouldn't a team want to get him now when they also have him for next year for a not ridiculous contract?
Right.
He's not Evan, you know, Fournier with an expiring contract, and that's the only good thing good about him. He's sixth man of the year. He's a guy, he was rookie of the year. I mean, he's a really good player that's not making an exorbitant amount of money. Teams like so many teams could use him. He's also a good defender and he's big. He's not small. Like there, no, it's crazy. You trade him for a first round draft pick and you'd be happy with it. And if you can get a young player and a first round draft pick, great.
Done.
But if not, Just go get the first round draft pick. Why do you want him? Like, what do you think he's going to do other than possibly get hurt? I mean, that's the thing. Like, you got to get what you can for him before he goes out for 15 games. Yeah. And then you can't. So I really hope that, you know, Joe Cronin and his squad can just get a first round draft pick for him. And also, you need to clear it out. You need to clear it out. I mean, it's helping you now that Sharp's hurt and Scoot was hurt and Simons was hurt, so he's getting a lot of minutes. But when, you know, Sharp comes back and you got Scoot and you got Simon and you got him, like, why? Like, why do you want to play him? Like, I don't get it. Like, there's no argument to me. And this leadership stuff, like, oh my, like, sure, that's great and that's awesome. That's why you have coaches.
Whenever someone tries to justify a move and they say he can mentor the such and such, I roll my eyes. I'm like, dude, that's not like that can be a nice benefit in the end, but that's not what you do these things for to have a exactly. That's what coach no. you have a former All-Star Finals MVP. Point guard as your head coach. He's the mentor. Yeah. Is it nice to have Brogdon around? Yeah, of course, that's cool. But I'm not going to keep him around to mentor Scoot. No. I need to get some picks so I can get some players to put around Scoot. It drives me nuts when people go
Taj Gibson's nice to have on your team as a mentor. Like, that you cut, and then you bring back, and you cut him, and you bring him back.
Your
mentor
should be at the end of the bench, not...
Because he's not there to play, right? But the other guys that you pay $20+ million to, they're not there to mentor.
Right.
They're there to play.
Exactly. And
they're there to get you a first round draft pick.
Right.
And that's why you traded for him.
And Brogdon says all the right things, and I'm sure he does.
Of course he does.
When he's there, he's going to be a pro. He's going to be a gentleman. He's seems like a great guy. He's going to pour into Scoot, but he'd rather pour into a contender.
Of course.
All right, cool.
And Grant's the same way. Grant's going to always say the right things.
That's
and I don't think they're
going to
trade Grant because his contract's different.
Right.
If you ask them, would you rather play for a team that's winning the title right now or would you rather play for a 23-win team? Like, what kind of 29-year-old knucklehead says I'd rather win 13?
I get all the shots I want.
I love losing.
Anyway. All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Blazer Focus podcast. We'll be back next week. Prior to the trade deadline, maybe there'll be some more news in that front. Than rumors have been pretty light, actually. And we'll sort of dive into that more. But the Damian Lillard to Portland saga is over. We can move forward and see what happens. But make sure you give us a positive rating. And what's the other thing? Oh, that's a subscription button. I'm on fumes. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Gosh, long week already.